Welcome back, Ralph.
Yo!
Back from his, it wasn't a holiday.
Sabbatical for a week.
Sabbatical for a week. Have you been sick, just as anyone else?
Oh yeah, I've been this winter, yeah, two times.
Jopke is sick today.
Jopke is always sick. Sick in his head.
Like the most terrible man flu you can ever imagine.
But I gotta admit, I was sick around Christmas. I was actually sick on Christmas. And I couldn't even watch Netflix. I had such a headache. And you know, being sick sometimes is not so bad. But being sick and not able to do shit, that was just fucked up.
That's when you realize how privileged you are with a healthy body and a healthy mind, and poof.
That's the right way to say it. And then it's only a few days. Mm-hmm. Can you imagine being sick all the time, having something, really something, because I'm a big wuss. A big one.
Like a real... Are you like one of those guys that are really, really... like really, how do you say that? Like,
I'm just pathetic.
When you're sick, like you feel like, oh, you need to take care of me. Please help me.
Oh, to be honest, my ego is too big for that. I still want to be the man at home. And, but then at some point I say to my wife, honey, can I please lie down? And then she says, you're okay, dude. And then I lie down and feel really, sorry for myself, being all fetus positioned. I cry a little bit. No, something like that.
Yeah.
So well, not so manly at all. No.
There's a lot of people sick right now. So Jay also got thrown down by the flu. So we have to do it together.
It's again that this stupid thing. No, can you hear me now?
Yeah, but it sounds like it's the same mic.
No, can be.
Yeah, that's weird. Anyway, don't touch it. Don't do anything.
Oh no, I'm actually having the wire. It's all like positioned right.
Okay.
I can't afford to buy a new one, man.
Yeah, it's hard times.
Tough times. Yeah,
I hear it a lot from artists these days. It's hard times, especially with international gigs. It's tough to get in between.
Why is that, do you think?
I think COVID killed a big part of the events, as in the events that were not really healthy or didn't have a big enough buffer. Those got killed. And it's not really attractive to get back into the game, at least here in the Netherlands, because of the insurance. They pulled out the insurance part of it. So if you throw an event, you're not insured for things like COVID or storms or whatever.
Yeah, it's a big risk.
It's a big risk. So it's not really appealing to get back into it. So I think a big part of the events has just simply stopped. And the big events is always the same story, you know. It's like you either play on a stage that is hosted by a certain label or by a certain agency or whatever. So you need to be part of that certain group. Otherwise, you won't be able to play there. And then you have the main stages, which are always filled with the bigger names, obviously. But there's like, six spots to be filled in. And there's like a billion DJs out of there. So I think there's just a lot less places to play. The same goes for clubs, you know. Like if you look in the Netherlands, like how many real clubs are there?
Oh, cool, man. It's not so much anymore.
No. So I think if you look at the whole spectrum of how many options you have to play, I think that just went drastically down.
Yeah, and also what's a big part in this is that the music landscape is really diverse right now. You have so many big artists in their own niche, and they all get a spot in the festivals, which is actually pretty cool, but not so good for an artist per se, because there's so much to choose from. I mean, they used to not, the main stages didn't used to program a lot of music styles, but now they do. I mean, you have Fisher playing 9 to 10 sets pre-closing, which is a house thing. Then you can get like an art style act after that, and before that you get someone like Tiesto, or I'm just saying stuff. But it's really diverse right now, and whereas the main stages used to program, they didn't program house at all, maybe as a starter, but yeah.
But do you think that that's...
And now you see hard techno entering the game.
But do you think that that's like that the industry is diverse right now because of the fact that events started to do diverse lineups? Or because there's just people want diverse music on a festival?
Well, you always have the pioneering festivals, but the big ones aren't really the pioneers, to be honest. They are the confirmation that you're doing good. So if you're a big artist in, let's say, techno or hard techno, whatever you want, and you get confirmed for the main or second stage of Ultra Miami, which is upcoming, then you're that's a confirmation of you making waves in the scene. But Ultra won't start programming you. That's the thing. The big festivals aren't the pioneering ones.
No, because the big festivals follow the masses, generally speaking.
Really logical as well, huh?
Yeah, sure. Well, what is your expectations of Ultra? Because it's, I think it's next week, this week, or then next month.
Oh, next month. Yeah. I think it will be big again.
But what would be like the thing that stands out? Because I hear a few people thinking about the fact that the 2014 sound is coming back. Like the old school EDM kind of sound.
Would be cool, but I don't think so.
If you listen to that last Martin Garrix song, for example, with the, it kind of feels like an old school track with the melodies and the vocal. And
yeah, but he's been doing progressive forever, you know? I don't think it's really new. He's always been upholding that sound. Think that's what makes Garrix kind of cool. Yeah, he doesn't deviate from what he used to do. Maybe kind of doesn't care if he gets hits or not, which I like. Just does his own shit. Whereas you see other artists who do get the hits, but they, yeah, what do they do? Yeah, they make hits, but are, is that their own sound or not?
Yeah,
it's always things you can talk about. Maybe progressive will be a little bit bigger. I don't know. I was actually now Googling the Ultra lineup.
Are you seeing
what kind of surprises are on there? Man, and I'm going to be really old, taking off the glasses so I can read. Yeah, it's still a lot of old names, huh? Afrojack, Alesso, Armin van Buuren, Carl Cox, Chainsmokers, Ketta, Loco Dice. It's pretty cool. Maceo Plex, man, that guy is insane. I love his music. Tale of Us, yeah, man. That's the new thing, huh?
Yeah.
Richie Orton, that's cool.
I do kind of feel like there's not really that many new names on Ultra.
But I'm actually like surprised that Charlotte de Witte is in the support slots. Wow.
In the support slots?
Yeah.
What do you mean with that?
Well, you have here the headlining, DJ headliners, then live headliners, and then support.
Mm.
And there's Charlotte de Witte.
Maybe she's not that big in outside of the Netherlands.
Or outside Europe.
Outside Europe.
Because, man, she does some cool stages. Also on rock festivals.
Mm.
Also Lost Frequencies is in the support slot.
Hmm.
Yeah, it's some big hits recently.
Yeah, but maybe also Europe and not necessarily
state. Yeah, that could be a thing. It's always hard to know because if you look at big guys like Steve Aoki or something, they're really big, big, big in the States. Whereas in Europe, yeah, it's a lot less than in the States.
Yeah.
Yeah, to be honest, I don't see any real surprises or so. Also not in the stages. No.
And are you playing there?
No.
Did you ever play there?
We did play there like in 2012 and 2014, maybe 2017. We did, first we did some stage in 2012. I don't know what kind of stage that was. And then we played Afrojack's stage,
mm-hmm.
Wall, and we played Hartwell's stage, Revealed.
Wow, the Revealed stage, yeah.
Yeah, and for the rest, no. We didn't get so much love from Ultra, to be honest. But we also always got a lot of love from Tomorrowland. And yeah, that's always... And you don't see Dimitri Vegas like Mike at Ultra. Wait.
Yeah.
Oh, I have a podcast to do. Maakt niet uit.
Yo.
It's morning.
Zijn we live?
Ja.
Yeah.
Never not changing.
Yeah.
No, oh, but yeah, we could actually add him here as well.
Hmm. Is he back into the Netherlands now?
Yeah.
Hmm. Period.
He lives here for quite some time already, for over a year, and lives in Amsterdam. And yeah, most of the time he's here, and
yeah,
we actually work.
Why not just invite him for another time?
Making plans to conquer the world, but no, that's you don't see Dimitri Vegas like Mike at Ultra. Yeah, there's always. I think they look at lineups and yeah. If you get love from the one, you don't get love from the other one. But we also played EDC main stage back in the day. And we do a lot of Insomniac shows in LA and San Diego.
Mm-hmm.
But not EDC Vegas anymore. I would love to play there. So, Pascal, if you're watching, you know how to find us. And That's kind of it.
But I always kind of feel like Ultra is a different animal in this space, as in you have Tomorrowland, you have Ultra, you have EDC. Like all those festivals kind of have their own kind of group they work with. And that's why, like Carl Cox, for example, has been with Ultra for ages.
But Afrojack plays Tomorrowland and Ultra, you know? And I don't know if he plays EDC as well. Could be.
Well, what do you think would be the difference?
I don't know. Just preference. We're all easily changed for another artist of the same caliber. And yeah, you could might as well if you can choose either Afrojack or I don't know what Alesso. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And you can book both of them or in none of them. And it's just a preference. Maybe the one has a better relationship with the other one. And yeah, you just don't know.
Mm.
But yeah, you cannot fill all the slots with the same people always. At each level, you have to choose Tiesto, Guetta, or then you get Garrix and or Zed. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, that kind of makes me think about a topic that we've discussed last week in the Discord with the group, which was how to stay relevant as an artist.
Oh.
Because if you look at those lineups, somehow some artists have been on there for at least 10 years. So how can you stay relevant as an artist? What can you do?
You just have to be aware of the world around you. Don't be caught up in your own shit.
Yes, but still, even if you see that the world is changing, just as you mentioned with Martin Garrix, like, he doesn't change because he wants to stick to what he likes to make, you know?
Yeah, but yeah, maybe that also costs him something. Yeah, I mean, if he used to play a lot of pop stages as well at some point, maybe they now choose other artists. I don't know how they do their shit. Hmm. But it all depends, you know. Look at Guetta, he's doing both of it. He's doing the hits and he's doing Future Rave, which is pretty impressive.
Mm.
And also to see Tiesto, I think those two are the big guys right now. They're really killing it. It's insane how they do it.
Yeah, but same for them. They've been relevant for 15 years, maybe even 20 years.
Yeah.
So what do they do different from all the others?
Yeah, well, they evolve and they are actually really good A&Rs. They listen to a lot of music. They're involved. They live and breathe what they do. And they come to certain people and then they invite them over to make music with them. They always work with the latest hot DJs or producers out there. And they're really open to what's out there in the world. And that's just another form of doing your shit. I'm not saying that Garrix is slacking or something, because he's also really amazing at what he does. I think musically, he's one of the better producers out there. And he makes a different choice. He sticks more to, he used to do the more hit things as well, but maybe he didn't feel really... comfortable with that. I don't know, man. I'm just speculating here. And but I can imagine, for me as an artist, I actually like what Martin does, because you want to stay a little bit true to yourself. But you cannot make the same sound as we did in 2014. Also, that has evolved. Mm. There's new techniques, new quality surfaced, and some stuff just sounds old now, you know?
True. But I think there's also a movement going on where the old school sounds are coming back, as in surely you've got the 90s sound, which has been here for a few months now. But I also kind of noticed that that old school sneakers nope is dope vibe is coming back.
There's a lot, and it's really eclectic right now. And
and last week I actually saw a video of Housequake. Like OG DJs Dutch, from the Netherlands.
Dutch dinosaurs,
Who are doing... they're doing like a tour again through the Netherlands with their Housequake concept.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. And they also set out a contest to other DJs to send in their DJ mix with like the old school head candy and stuff, you know, like defective head candy sound. Cool.
Yeah.
Because they are looking for a warm-up DJ, and I was like, "Wow, that's actually a cool sound."
Can you imagine all those icons of before that they're not per se the icons right now anymore? And that's but that actually gives you hope as an aspiring artist that there's always change, there's always evolvement, and so there will be new names in every segment of dance or music.
Coaching, when I help the younger artists out there, so let's say 20, 25 years old, more and more when I get in a conversation with them and I mention like Chucky or Rogue or Housequake or whatever, they have no clue. Because back when they were like the king of the scene, they were 10 years old, maybe even younger. So it's a real shift of like a real shift in how do you say that?
I don't know how you say that, But you mean there's just a shift? I mean, ravers also evolve. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And in my opinion, every 3 years, the crowd is being a little bit more refreshed. The next mm-hmm. batch of 18-year-olds is entering the stage. Hey, you're 18 until 21. That's the raving period. Maybe yeah. until 18 to 24. But when it's new, it's new. That's the coolest part. And that's the first part when you're 18 to 21. Yeah. For the States, obviously, that's a little bit different because of the age restriction of drinking.
Yeah.
Fuck it. Then we do drugs. We don't care. Huh. And that's basically how it is. And in everyone's life, like raving or going out or partying, like really when you're in too deep, it takes a 3-4 years of your life, and then you do something different, you know.
Mm. And could say that every year you get a new crowd because every year there's people turning 18, right? It's a constant flow.
That's continuous, but still, then it would stay the same for quite a long time. But you see, like every 3-4 years, something happens, you know. Then all of a sudden, it's the dubstep bass house crowd, and then it's the techno scene or the tech house. Now it's the techno. Now it's hard techno, and that takes up that's always every 3, maybe 2, sometimes 4 years. Then something just enters the stage and kind of flips up everything we know.
And where are we now in that cycle?
Yeah, I think last year stuff has really changed. I just looked up in my releases folder, and I checked up December 2022.
Mm-hmm.
That's actually when we released Raket. But Raket was kind of, for us, something different. It was more techno-influenced. We did Blink 2022 before that. It was released in August. So we were kind of also, I mean, it came naturally that you looked into what techno did. But I didn't like techno at the time because it was always too dark and too moody for what I liked. But then all of a sudden, it entered the more party music scene, you know. It got a little bit more light and more fresh. And in 2022, I made a remake of Marshall Masters. Don't touch that stereo. Mm-hmm. And I have two versions, one of Big Room and one with a techno kick. And that's actually the point where I said, no, man, the Big Room kick is just too old now.
Too old.
Too old. And that's when I stopped using it. That's the last record I made with a Big Room kick.
That's and that was?
2022, December.
Hmm. Okay.
And then, because we're already flirting with the rumble kick. And you can hear it really good in our Raket track, which was made actually in 2021. We made it like it was still deep COVID time. That's why we started experimenting with other sounds.
What's a rumble kick?
Like a deep rumble. Like boom, 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 boom. Yeah, you need to. When you put on our track Traffic, there's this rumble. Doesn't it really have tone, you know? Yeah. Whereas a Big Room kick gets... It has the big sub. In a techno kick, you have the punch and a rumble going on.
Like a sub, just
well, it's not really like a sub. It's just so low and it just rumbles. It's like a rumble, a thunder rumble. And it also so low that it doesn't really have tone. That's why that's, for me, always also was a game changer. Because then I could use certain kicks under tracks, remakes, that were, for instance, in C major.
Mm-hmm.
I'd rather have C minor, by the way. But let's say C minor. And then I came to the conclusion, fuck, I can do remakes in C minor and put that rumble kick under there because it doesn't matter which tone it is. Whereas with a Big Room kick with a sub, if you would make something in C, man, good luck with that. You don't hear that sub. It's way too high or way too low.
Mm-hmm.
So that also was like this turning point for me, like, fuck, the possibilities here are like endless. That got me really hyped up.
Mm.
Sometimes it's good to jump on a bandwagon, you know. You can find out something about yourself as a musician. You can find out stuff about music that's new. Use new insights. You don't have to like flip over 180 degrees. 60 degrees is just fine. Then flirt a little bit 120 and...
Yeah, but I think for a lot of people, they're scared that they kind of leverage their sound too much.
It always comes down that you have to do what you like. And if you like it, just flip it.
Flip it as in change your sound?
Yeah.
And what if the audience doesn't like it?
Tough luck for you. Yeah. Go look for a job. Nothing wrong with a job.
No. Yeah. No, but what if...
hard times doing stuff you don't really like, you know? Oh, man, can't even imagine.
Doing stuff you don't like.
Sounds like a job, huh?
Yeah, well, I was actually a nice book I was reading last week. Well, listening, actually, I don't read. but it's called a book, it's called Same As Ever.
Uh-huh.
And it's about all the things that never really change in the world. Although the world constantly changes and like COVID happens and world war happens and everything big happens. But at the same time, the same things, we do the same things all over again. And it was interesting to see. It was also about work, that we always try to strive towards having a job where you can do what you like. But reality is that for most people, that's never going to happen. You know, I think even for everyone on this planet, it's not going to happen. Because even you with your dream job, you could say, or me, I'm also really happy with my job. But even you and me have like 10%, 20% of the time, you still feel like, I don't feel like doing this. But it just is part of the job.
100% is like, nobody has that. Yeah, exactly. That's always something to complain about.
Exactly. But somehow we always have this thought that we want to achieve that.
Optimization. It's not per se about perfection. Wow. Did I just say that? That's through it's wisdom right there. Wisdom.
Not about perfection.
Also in music, hey, it will never be perfect. But you got to put it out there. See what happens.
Optimize it to the best version.
Yeah. I saw it like you took the clip of last week's podcast about finishing tracks.
Yeah.
Hey, true story. That finished track, yes, can be better if you put even more time in it, but it won't make a difference. Just put it out there and see what happens. And you take that, what you have learned, onto the next track.
Yeah. And I really believe that this mindset is one of the key mindsets that you should have if you want to make it in this industry.
Mm.
Because that's one of the things that most successful artists have in common. They all think like this, you know, they're like, let's just put it out there. I'll give it my best, but good is good enough. And I'll just put it out there and see what happens.
Yeah.
And for most artists, that mindset comes.
Yeah. You know, it's also about, when you make decisions, it's about what's the alternative. It's not per se about whether or not doing or putting it out there, but what's the alternative? Not doing it, doing it next week, in about 4 weeks or 8 weeks. What are the risks then? Is the sound still valid? There's so much stuff that can happen, you know, and you got to take that leap of faith at some point.
Mm.
And because there's just no better alternative.
Yeah, but taking that leap of faith comes natural to you, or maybe you've learned yourself to become more comfortable with taking the leap of faith.
I just don't give a fuck, man.
Yeah, so it comes natural to you?
No, I do give a fuck, and I give a lot of fucks, actually. I also read a lot of comments. Sometimes I hate people. What? It's not simple at all.
Yeah, but to you, it's somehow... comes natural, where for other artists, I just know it's not natural at all. You know, it costs tons of energy to make that decision, to dare to make that decision, to deal with all the opinions that you'll get.
Yeah. And then still it's about getting to know yourself and where your limitations are, and just keeping that in mind and start doing stuff. Doing stuff is the first principle of getting somewhere, or the first doing stuff is the first. If you don't do shit, you don't get anywhere.
Yeah.
Take steps, man. Gotta take steps. Yeah. Is that even English? Gotta make steps. You gotta step.
Gotta step up.
You don't step, you don't get forward.
I don't know. Well, I always like the comparison to fitness, you know, it's because that's where you can see the result much better. It's much more easy to see, let's say. Because in the gym, it's the same thing. Like, you can read books until you've had them all.
But that's the thing with fitness is, you can probably tell.
You don't even fit into the screen anymore.
No, I know. No, but I started working out quite a lot. And that's really easy, makeable. You can see a lot of results pretty quickly. That's, for me, to be honest, it's one of the more fun and easy things to do. It's a lot of fun, man. I mean, seeing yourself going up in weight. But it's, if I compare it to making music, putting it all out there, doing the marketing and all the shit, that's so fucking abstract.
Because it's not visual. Visible.
It's like, just you don't know if all your effort that you put into it gets to the result you would like to have, or even a fraction of it. Because you can do everything right and it then still doesn't happen. It's, it's fighting frustration. Why? How is this possible? I thought it all good through and I put in my hours, I put in this and that, and then it's still, you do everything right and it still doesn't happen. Yeah, that's, and with fitness, it's quite easy. If you push up some weight and you eat accordingly, you will get big muscles.
Yeah, you will become stronger, and thus you'll see your
weight. Yeah, take up a little bit of discipline, because you won't be sitting on the couch with a sack of chips or some chocolate and drinking beer. But yeah, it does ask something for you, but it's real. It's makeable, you know. It's not abstract. It's really like lift weight, get bigger.
But so that's the thing that makes this so hard. It's
insecurity, man. You never get securities, no guarantees. And that's what makes it hard. I mean, really mentally, makes it mental, man. Is that the right way to say it?
Mentally tough.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And, but to be honest, I learned making decisions over time and not losing sleep about them. Because at first, man, sending out a DM on Twitter to Tiesto, dude, I read that sentence 50 times before I press send. And when I send it, I had to poop right away. Nerves everywhere.
Yeah.
No, it's, yeah.
So you don't regret your decisions, you mean? Like, you make a decision, you're comfortable.
You learn to make decisions. And it's also just for like necessity to make decisions. Choose, man. Don't linger on stuff. Choose. Yeah. And then it comes down to making rational decisions, but also where you don't know, then you have to follow your heart. But you have to think stuff through. Don't judge too quickly. Man, that's my biggest pitfall. This is shit. No, maybe it's not. Give it a second listen or a third one. Ask somebody else. Give it time. Because a lot of the times I said, this is shit. And then later on I thought, fuck, man, that shit's genius.
Yeah.
Not my own shit. Other shit. Or my own shit. And not really shit. Shit is music in this one.
Yeah. But that's the fun thing with time. Time does weird things, as in
makes your hair turn gray.
Yeah.
But makes you wise.
Makes you
it's not time, wise. It's experience.
Yeah, but it's also time, as in time gives you, how do you say that? Like, I also noticed that with a few things in life, if you just wait a week with making a decision, you'll think about it completely different in a week. You know, like you'll have so much more insight, knowledge about the certain decision or topic. It's just hard to postpone the decision because you feel like you need to make it now. And in
some point you have to. I mean, last what we did lately, we made a remake together with Moti of Lethal Industry, Tiesto. Mm-hmm. Man, there were so many choices we could do with that track. At some point, we had to send it out and to see if we could get his approval. So yeah, you pick a version out of five options. Then you send it out, and yeah, he didn't like it. So tough luck for us. But then you start to think, shit, maybe if we took this version or that version, but yeah, you just don't know. And yeah, that's part of being in music. You just don't know. And you just try.
Wasn't it possible to send one of those other versions?
No. Yeah, it's possible, but
so it's just a one shot.
Don't think it will. If he would like it enough, he would come back with feedback. It's how I work as well. So hey, we had some discussions here. I mean, it's always the same. You send out stuff, and if the guys or girls like it, they will say it. And if they like it for 90%, they will give you feedback. But if they don't give you feedback or anything, then they just don't like it. That's the only conclusion.
That's also an answer.
Yeah. Hey, but you got to keep on sending next time. I mean, Tiesto said yes to Traffic. Who knows what he will say up to the next. Yeah.
Just keep trying.
Yep. He said yes to Thank You, Not So Bad, which is his biggest hit right now.
Mm.
And I like that.
Nice.
It's pretty cool.
It's a nice way to end.
Yeah?
Yeah.
37 minutes, man.
Yeah, I have to drive to the office.
Ah, I could see that you're at home. You have a lovely home.
Thank you.
But nice I have to banana go to plant.
What?
Nice banana plant in the background.
Banana plant in the background, yeah. Now, sometimes I work from home, but I have one meeting in the office today, so I have to go there and then go back home again.
Okay. Well, we had a nice chat again.
Yeah, exactly.
I will see Danik this Friday again. We're playing a party of good friends of ours and mutual friends. And we play the set next after him.
A private party.
Yeah. It's for the guys who do the clothing, you know.
Oh, those guys. Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, so nice.
It will be nice. We'll have a few beers and we will think of you.
Say hi to him.
Yeah, I will.
And for the ones listening, if you're not a part of our Discord yet, make sure to join our Discord. It's in the description of this podcast. So,
And give us a thumbs up.
Put a thumbs up.
The comments. Share this shit.
Like, share.
I mean, a lot of more people need to hear all the wisdom bombs we put out there. It's talking about shit, which is really important that more people should hear that. So,
exactly. See you all next week.
Bye-bye.